אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. In another breakthrough for Israel's rapprochement with the Arab Gulf and a major boon for Israeli air travel, Saudi Arabia on Wednesday announced that it will henceforth allow flights from all countries to cross over its airspace on flights to or from the United Arab Emirates. This is understood to mean that Israeli flights can head to and from the Far East via Saudi Arabia and the UAE, drastically reducing travel time to Australia and elsewhere. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hailed the announcement as a huge breakthrough that will help the Israeli economy and reduce airfares. In a film statement standing near a huge map, he said, "For years I've been working to open the skies between Israel and the East. It was the spectacular news 2.5 years ago when Air India received approval to fly directly to Israel. Now there's another tremendous breakthrough. Israeli planes and those from all countries will be able to fly directly from Israel to Abu Dhabi and Dubai and back. Flights will be cheaper and shorter, and it will lead to robust tourism and develop our economy." Monday's first ever Israeli non-stop flight to Abu Dhabi, carrying a delegation of negotiators and journalists, crossed through Saudi airspace with Saudi support. Israel's national carrier, El Al, on Thursday announced a first cargo flight to Dubai, days after its groundbreaking commercial passenger trip to the United Arab Emirates. The Boeing 747 aircraft will be carrying agricultural and high-tech equipment from Israel to the Emirates, with the route set to become a regular Wednesday fixture in the future. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu denied on Friday that he had privately removed any opposition to the sale of American F-35 fighter jets and radar-blocking planes to the United Arab Emirates as part of the normalization deal with the UAE, saying it was a false allegation. The response came after a New York Times report on Thursday said the Prime Minister privately stopped opposing the sale of the planes to Abu Dhabi, despite repeated public assurances that he is against the deal. The report claimed that along with the ultra-advanced jets and Reaper drones, the deal also includes radar-blocking EA-18G Growler jets, which could erode the effectiveness of Israel's air defense capability and put the Emirates at a considerable military advantage. The report quoted Hussein Ibish, a researcher at Washington's Arab Gulf State Institute, who said officials from the US, the United Arab Emirates and Israel all told him Netanyahu gave the weapons deal a green light. The cabinet will convene on Tuesday for the first time in 3 weeks. The meeting will be held on Tuesday afternoon rather than Sunday, when the cabinet usually meets. 3 cabinet meetings over the past month were cancelled amid a coalition crisis over the passage of the state budget, with the most recent meeting cancelled due to the visit of a US delegation led by White House senior advisor Jared Kushner. Israel has been without a state budget since 2019. Coalition partners Likud and Kohol Levan reached a compromise to push off the deadline to pass a state budget to December 23rd. The agreement removed the immediate threat of the country going to polls again for the fourth time in under 2 years, but the parties remain deeply at odds on several issues. If the coalition fails to agree on a budget, the country will head to new elections in March, with Prime Minister Netanyahu keeping his seat throughout the process. Under the coalition agreement, Netanyahu must hand over the reins of government to Benny Gantz in November 2021 or earlier if the government collapses, except in the case of the coalition dissolving due to failure to pass a budget. Prime Minister Netanyahu's standing and opinion polls are at their lowest level, with less than one-third of the population believing that he is managing either the coronavirus epidemic or the economy well. Nevertheless, he still has a slight lead over Naftali Bennett, Yair Lapid or Benny Gantz as preferred Prime Minister. Protests against the Prime Minister continued last night, with thousands turning out to demonstrate outside his official residence in Jerusalem and at other sites around the country. The rate of infection of coronavirus in Israel is still rising, and the death toll since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic now stands at 1,007, with 12 deaths over Shabbat. 123 patients are on ventilators. 100,357 Israelis have recovered from the virus. In a meeting with Arab leaders yesterday in the Druze town of Daliet el-Karmel in northern Israel, head of the government's coronavirus committee, Professor Roni Gamzu, warned that there could be hundreds of deaths in the communities within weeks. Gamzu said it's clear this is going to happen. Without trying to scare people, this is the coronavirus. The virus is not something to laugh about. It can lead to serious illness and death. Every day there are about 750 new infections in Arab communities. Many of them can be traced to large weddings with guests flouting regulations. Gamzu said he believed the local leadership understood the seriousness of the problem, and it was now up to citizens to take precautions and obey regulations. 30 cities deemed red are coming under strict lockdown tomorrow. Many of the towns on the list are predominantly Arab and ultra-Orthodox, two-sevenths of the population that have been hardest hit by the virus. Other communities could be added to the list of areas under complete lockdown if virus cases surge in those localities. Earlier on Friday, Health Minister Director General Chezi Levy warned that the potential reimposition of a nationwide lockdown is still on the table, after ministers on Thursday were presented with research predicting hospitals could be overwhelmed within 2 weeks as the number of virus cases climbs upwards. Ultra-Orthodox newspapers on Thursday condemned Professor Roni Gamzu and called for him to be ousted from his position after he denounced a prominent rabbi whose remarks could encourage yeshiva students not to get tested for the COVID-19 virus. Rabbi Chaim Knievsky, considered amongst the most important leaders of the non-Hasidic branch of ultra-Orthodox Jewry in Israel, expressed concern that the testing process would take students away from their studies and that positive results would require those who came in contact with the patient to quarantine, further disrupting yeshiva life. This controversy comes on top of a conflict with the Hasidic Bratslav group, whose annual pilgrimage to Uman in the Ukraine for Rosh Hashanah is unlikely to proceed. A woman who was 9 months pregnant was seriously injured and 3 other Palestinians were injured after Israeli settlers threw stones at the car they were travelling in late on Wednesday near the West Bank town of Tursu Musaya. They were taken to hospital in Ramallah for medical treatment. All 4 are residents of Kfar Malek near Ramallah. Israel on Friday experienced its hottest recorded day ever, meaning for at least 100 years. Eilat recorded an unprecedented 48.9 degrees. After Thursday saw Jerusalem record its highest temperature ever, Friday's figures edged out that one, setting a new record of 42.8 degrees in Jerusalem, which usually enjoys slightly cooler weather than the rest of the country thanks to its location and relatively high altitude of some 800 metres above sea level. This is Peter Jones Pelach, reporting for SBS Radio from a sweltering Jerusalem. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.